Welcome, everybody. Is now.
What's up, everybody? It's me, Johnny. And with me, I've got DJD and Farmer.
Howdy.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. We're doing the visual bit. I can see it. That thing is pretty sweet.
I like it, actually. Yeah.
So
portable and everything.
That's what my router is connected to right now that I have power to, to my internet. So that's how I'm able to talk right now.
That's what's up.
Just about to, you'll see the power go out. This is the visual bit. Here in 3 minutes, the power is going to go out. And I'm just going to be, sitting here in a dark room.
Yeah. Just
how's that different than normal?
We'll just see the light on his eyes. So Farmer's got a scheduled power outage.
Yeah.
Are they working on something?
Yeah, they're moving a couple mainframes. They've had several poles down. They have to redo the main lines. So yeah, and since we're a small town, we don't have any other power sources that they can defer to. Right. I don't think.
Right. So. Well, and but also, 11 p.m. It's not the biggest deal, right?
Not to be out. Deal. Who's up at this hour?
Yeah. Who would be recording a podcast or something at this hour? I would let everyone know that I record the podcast at 1 p.m. at a very respectable time. Well, is it going? Is the power out now? It's 97.
I mean, no, this is activated right now, running my wireless router. In one minute. It's about to go off here in 1 minute.
Can you say what this thing is? That it's like a backup power source, right?
So what we're looking at here is the brand is Jackery, but there's a bunch of different. It's basically a reserve power supply. Like a lot of campers use this, but for anybody really who's experiencing going out on the outdoors wants a little power. Mm-hmm. This thing actually hooks up to a solar panel. You can get there's a mod that you can get to it. It plugs up to your car if you're wanting to charge it. On the road, you can really charge this thing. Just going anywhere, you can actually charge it from USB, and then it has the button here. When you click the button, then it starts giving out power.
Right,
and it was really cool. My PC started and everything, and then it started getting past the 300 watts. I'm like, ooh, I think this thing is rated for 240. Yeah, that's not gonna work.
How long does it last? How long does one charge on that bad boy last? I know it depends on how much.
Hours, depending on the depending on the output, but for something like this, that's just a single, 120 or something like that, that's running not too much. This is 12 watts right now. It'll run for a long time like this on a 12 watt. Now, if you get something more 100 watts, you're probably talking a couple, 3 or 4 hours, something like that, probably.
I saw this really interesting thing. So, for those who are in the States are aware, there were some hurricanes through Asheville and through Florida that were pretty devastating. But I saw this one dude who had, I think, are they called Ford F1 Lightnings? They got these all electric pickup trucks. And it's a Ford. His was a Ford. And he was oh yeah, check it out. He had, the whole house was being powered by the car. The car's sitting in the garage and they had the fridge and a bunch of stuff and electric just plugged into the car, and it was pretty sweet.
Well, it's 11:01 and I still have power, so I don't know what's going on.
I know. Yeah. That's annoying.
They're just messing with you.
You should call the company.
Everybody's okay, when is it going to happen?
Right. Yeah. They're all
this is why you need to become mayor. This is why I'm going to run your mayoral campaign.
Because we can make people believe things. Whether they're true or not, it doesn't matter.
I was going to say to put a stop to the lies, but
okay. That's where you're going with that.
I don't know how it is in the States, but here in Japan, at almost every rest stop, they have those fast wattage chargers for electric cars, trying to encourage people to get electric cars. And Japan's a much smaller country than the US as well, right? So distances people travel is not as high. I would be super interested in getting an electric car, except that they don't sell an electric family vehicle, van, right? It's always a little car, or now they're doing trucks. There is
I was going to say, like, in general, in Japan, it seems like the cars are smaller, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I drive a minivan, which is probably the size of, like, a normal American car, but in Japan, it's, like, one of the largest vehicles you can get. It's all right. All right. But, what's up, everybody?
Well, I mean, I had some stuff pulled up, but I don't have my computer on now, so
much for that. If you guys want me to talk, I'm just going to talk about World of Warcraft. So you guys can. I'll take a back seat on this one if you guys want to. This doesn't need to become podcast.
David, wasn't there some really cool stuff that we were talking about with Starfield? I think it's about time to talk about that.
The Starfield DLC seems really cool. I've started it. I haven't gotten very far in it, but I stream that later tonight.
Really want to try that. You're doing that later tonight?
Might in a bit, yeah. So anyone listening to this, you missed it. Sorry. Check the VOD.
Yeah. Hopefully you're there. If you weren't there, then we'll know.
But also, so to bring it back around a little bit on Starfield versus Star Wars Outlaws, I mean, are you guys still playing that game?
Or I need I mean, I haven't been gaming at all.
Did Starfield kill it?
The last week or
See, that's the problem is we haven't had chance to do anything really that much. Like we had a really good time playing. What's that game, David? Atlas Fallen.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was a lot of fun, and it was fun because we hadn't played in a while, and then we go back into a game that seems like it should be. For this day and age, like a single player game, but it's actually co-op and quite well done and a lot of fun. I mean, I had a blast.
Well, no, exactly. I mean, I feel terrible because I finished Final Fantasy VII Remake, right? And then I was like, oh man, I'm going to get into Horizon Zero Dawn. And I know I'm right at that precipice where you can get sucked in. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like games. Have that, like, where you're in the intro area. Yeah. I hit this with The Witcher 3, I think, like, four times. I would start over and complete all of that. I'm right on that edge, and then I started playing World of Warcraft, right? And now I've got, like, a level 24 and a level 70, and I'm, like, looking at buying the next expansion so I can get a level booster and all of that. But check this out. The throwback here. I recently bought For Honor on Steam because it was like $5.
I saw you playing that yesterday. Yeah. I saw you playing it. Like, what is this?
I loaded in and I was like, oh, I'm just going to do the tutorials yesterday. I had a great time playing For Honor. And like, I played for more than an hour and I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. I want to do this.
There's still something left for me in that game.
It's funny because so when I was playing that game, it was when my son was very young and like, you know, I'm playing it on the family TV. So I like turned off blood and decapitations. Right. So it's like a very different game than the game you guys are playing. And when I started playing the game, Johnny actually saw me playing the game and he was like, oh, Natsukashi, which is like it means like nostalgic. He was like, oh, like, I remember you used to play this game when I was little. And I was like, oh, my. And he's like, this game's so cool. Oh,
that's kind of cute, actually. Yeah, I kind of love that.
I've dreamt. Nights of playing this one day when I grew up.
But check it out. Also, one thing that makes it better is my main, for those who know For Honor, was Shigoki. And they kind of nerfed him a little bit. And he only had like six moves to begin with. And they changed how he did his moves. Like how you activated certain moves. And I really didn't like it. Right?
Sure.
Yeah. His moves are back to the way they were when I was first playing.
Oh yeah,
Ridgeball. I loaded back in and I was like trying to check his moveset and I'm like, this seems like exactly like how it used to be. And it is. And I lost all of the characters I unlocked. Like while there is cross play, there is not cross progression.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys want to play some For Honor sometime.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
It's a lot of fun getting back into it, man.
What is this, Johnny? Can you explain to me what's happening? Like, are you?
What is it? It was $5, man. That's what it is.
No, not just this game, but like we're talking about this. We're talking about WoW. Like I remember talking to
He's a PC gamer now.
Yeah, is it PC gaming that's brought you, you know, back? Like, you're turning back the clock, you're feeling nostalgic, something like that. I mean, when we were talking with Caitlin, and on that first podcast that she was on, talking about, you know, the 100 billion people or something like that.
Right. 100 billion, wow. Yeah, 100 billion people, right.
Yeah, like, so at that time, I think you were more like, I can't believe people still play WoW. How has this come about where you're one of those people now?
Yeah.
Well, that's what I want to know.
Well, there's a couple of things on it. Part of it, like David said, is like PC gaming. Also, I recently bought, as recent as yesterday, I bought Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War. Because they were both on sale for $6. And I beat Shadow of Mordor, but I've never played Shadow of War. So I was like, freaking, hey, man, yeah, I'll throw it on the to play list, right?
Throw it and on I'll, the docket, yeah. I mean, yeah, PC I'll Gamer, that's PC Gamer life, man.
I've been also on the lookout for when we go to America, I need to get some offline only games, right? Because we're going to be in the States for 2 weeks. I'm not going to be able to play any online games. So that would be a good option. But, you know, as far as WoW is concerned, not to bring this podcast all the way around, but, you know, I stopped playing Destiny 2.
And we made full circle now.
Yeah, we've gone full circle. And like those kinds of games, like MMO-ish games, I do really well with games that have, I don't want to say progression, but like carryover, right? Every hour. Sure. So there are some games like persistent, Halo,
like gaining or whatever.
Yeah.
Like,
Halo or Apex, every game, it's kind of its own game, right? It doesn't really matter how many hours you put into the game. A game is a game. But then like in Destiny, it did matter. Right? Like how many, like it mattered on the gear you had. It's one of the reasons I really love to play Elite Dangerous, you know, like of that persistent world, it really did matter. I've always really enjoyed stuff like that. And so getting into WoW, I mean, the big thing for it is that I got it working on my Steam Deck. You know, I can just load into it. I'm sitting on the couch having a good time, do a couple quests, you know. Play a couple of, and also I got a high enough level that I can do dungeons. I really enjoy doing stuff like that. And that's it, man. That's what got me into WoW is I don't have an MMO in my life right now.
You chose the right time to abandon Destiny, though, because there has been thing after thing after thing with Destiny.
Oh, yeah? What's going on?
I can only imagine at this point.
So, first off, Destiny Rising got announced. Right, the mobile game.
There's a mobile game.
Let's and go, baby.
The overall messaging for the mobile game is that A, it's not canon. B,
what?
It's not for, like, literally every single person who's defended this game has said this isn't for Destiny players. It's for mobile gamers. And it's like, well, that's not a great look. Like, what?
So it's just basically says it's Destiny, but everything else is different, and it's not really even the same game, is what you're saying.
Well, it's the same, like, universe, but not really. It's the Silver Timeline or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, what? I love, you know, have I heard Silver Timeline enough? Oh, my goodness. I'm just like, I don't like that term anymore. It's just, it's bad. It's bad omen.
Well, no, the thing is that, like, people think that, like, when you hear, on one hand, I kind of get it, right? So, like, you guys remember, pre-MCU, the Spider-Man movies, right? Like, Tobey Maguire's first three Spider-Man movies. That's it. They exist in a vacuum, right?
Right.
And then you got Andrew Garfield's movies. They exist in a vacuum. The Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, they're never going to meet, right? The Fantastic Four movies and Spider-Man, or like the Fantastic Four and even X-Men, who are both owned by Fox at the time.
Yeah.
There's not any crossover here. They're just totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they almost want to go back to that versus like the interconnected thing,
yeah.
Right? Where like everything, because man, you know, let me tell you, when I hear Silver Timeline, all I hear is it doesn't matter.
Really. That's I mean, that's kind of what I hear too.
What I hear is don't get invested, don't get into it because this doesn't mean anything. you know.
Now, Destiny Rising is not made by Bungie. It's made by NetEase. So that kind of sort of explains a few things, I guess.
I mean, I don't even know who that is.
NetEase is like a Chinese megacorp that like did Diablo Immortal. They're doing Marvel Rivals. They've done a bunch of games in the past.
Do they just make mobile games?
I think... I feel like most of their regular games, I'll look up and see what they've done. But, so NetEase is making Destiny Rising, right? But the problem that I have, one of the many problems that I have with that, is that it, like, might be a gacha game, you know? Or something like that. Because it seems like there's characters that you can get and stuff. Also,
I'm assuming this only happened because PlayStation has control of Destiny. You know, like, this probably would have never happened.
NetEase invested, like, a bunch of money in Bungie, actually, before Sony completed their deal, I think. So, like, I think NetEase actually, like, kind of, like, bought an ability to make a game.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well... Yeah. Gotcha. If you fund us, we'll
like they licensed it. Yeah, essentially. You know,
There is a Destiny event going on in
yes, in For Honor. Yes, I'm right so now. Tempted. I'm so tempted. I really am. I told Fabrice earlier this week, like, this is probably the closest I'll get to Destiny.
So, a couple things. One, who plays? And I'm going to say this. I'm going to sound so out of touch. Who plays mobile games? I don't, but it's not just that. I don't even know anyone who does.
Right? It looks, I amend my statement. It looks like pretty much all that they have are like mobile games for the most part.
And I mean, I know like a lot of people play Pokemon Go and I see people on their phones playing games all the time. But like we've talked about my battery anxiety. Right. And like why I don't use my phone for anything like that. Like, yeah.
How do if I had a dedicated device for gaming, that would be a little bit different.
You have to have two phones, man.
I am.
Play the game, you know?
I think those are... But then also, I use a mini. I use a really small phone. Like, you know, it also has worse battery life than, like, the larger phones, because the battery is literally smaller, right? Is that just it? Am I just that out of touch? Farmer, do you play any mobile games?
Like, I think we kind of touched on this a little bit, but, like, the last time we kind of talked about it, I mean, honestly... Tell you the truth, I have definitely, like, within the last 5 years, like, moved away from playing mobile games. I think in the 2010-2015 kind of era, I was playing it more because I was not working here at home. But now that I work here at home, I've got, you know, if I'm going to take a break, I'm going to play on the Xbox, I'm going to play on the PlayStation, I'm going to play on the PC. I'm not going to clutter up my phone. The only time I got apps, really, is for the kids, or is an app for like something to integrate with like music software or something like that, you know?
Right.
I use my tuner on my phone like more than anything. I feel like my music guitar tuner app on my phone.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It's crazy. I use that more than anything, like pretty much on my phone for like app worthy. Anyways, but yeah.
Do you play any mobile games?
Not at the moment, no. I'll do Cloud every now and then, but like that's pretty much it.
Were you doing that Marvel game? What's it called?
Oh, Marvel Snap, which is a great game. Yeah. And I downloaded the Star Wars Battle Arena game, but I never played it. Star Wars Hunters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There was a time that I really liked mobile games, and there's like a mobile game... there's a Final Fantasy Tactics remake that's on mobile that I like, but I don't play it on my phone. I play it on an iPad, right? Like that's one of the other issues. There's a lot of games that I like would play on like iOS, like on an iPad. Like, so technically like I could play Hearthstone, but the problem is I feel like mobile games are all like so, transaction driven. It's hard for me to get into them, you know?
I would agree with the ones that are like free to play mobile games and stuff, but I feel like the quality of mobile games has changed a little bit too. Like, I feel like we are seeing like the, you know,
Kind of depends on what you
full
get for
quality
sure,
games like, come to mobile sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
but the problem is that, like, there's a it's kind of like the Nintendo eShop, right? Like, you go to the Nintendo shop and there's a ton of junk on there, and then there's some quality games. Like, and really, I guess the same is kind of true for, like, the Sony and Xbox stores, too, and Steam. But, I mean, I feel like it's just, like, more prevalent or, like, harder to find, like, the quality stuff in some ways on certain shops and stuff. And I feel like the mobile gaming market is the same, where there's just so much noise that it's really hard to tell, like, when there's, like, quality products released.
Yeah, and everybody's trying to get that little piece of the pie, so whatever they can do. You know, to get you in there free to play it, but also, like, yeah, I hate the games where it's like the whole time they're like, buy this, buy this, buy this. And yeah, I'm done. Right. I'm done at that point. And I don't even play mobile games, but, like, for the experience that I've had, anytime a game does that, I'm pretty much unselling it, like, right away. I'm just not about that.
No, same. It's really interesting. Like, I know Genshin Impact is a huge mobile game and such, but I wanted to touch on something really quick. What do you guys... So, gacha games. David said that he thinks it might be a gacha game. What do you think is, like, the origin and the meaning of this word, like, gacha? Because it's not what I originally thought.
I really don't know. Like, I mean, like,
it's a game genre. It's a whole genre of game. It's a gacha game people talk about all the time. And without being in on this culture, what I thought when I first heard it is, like, it's the kind of game that it got you, right? It gets
you. Oh, sure. When I first heard it, like, I probably thought that,
it charges you, and you have to keep paying for the chance, like gambling, right? That's what I originally thought it came from, gacha game. But that's not actually what it comes from. Do you guys know what it comes from?
Yes, I do.
It comes from, it's an automatopoeia sound, kind of, and it comes from, like, Japanese toys. So there are these whole places that they have, like, basically not quite vending machines, but, you know, like gumball type machines.
Oh yeah.
Where you put in money and you spin the thing and it, like, would give you, like, a little capsule toy. That's
kind of like claw machines or whatever.
Yeah.
So, sort of. Got it. So you gotcha.
Well, no, it's called gachapon, right, Chio-san? The gacha is the sound of the turning the thing, and the pon is the sound of the thing coming out. And so it's just an onomatopoeia Japanese word.
That's wild, because I would not have like associated that sound with that. I hear
gacha game mostly from Americans I know who are like, it's a gacha game. And it sounds like it's a got you game, right? That's what it sounds like in English. But no, it's
but like when I learned how it was spelled, like, that's where I was like, oh, okay, I'm probably wrong about this or whatever.
This style of games, though, are kind of like that anyways. They're trying to get you to keep playing.
Yeah, so exactly. It makes
sense. True. Yeah.
And
it's one of those weird things where it just makes sense even though it's not necessarily supposed to.
Exactly.
Right. Well, and it's thanks Overwatch. I appreciate you for getting all of this started with gaming. I associate it very much with Overwatch.
Well, and I mean, like, Destiny has always had really bad RNG, you know? So I mean, like, but in terms of Destiny Rising, one of my frustrations is that Destiny Rising is just, I don't know, that seems like a lazy name to me. It seems pretty generic.
Destiny is generic enough.
But isn't Destiny Rising? But adding Destiny, like, Rising, too, pretty generic. Set in an alternate Destiny timeline is what they call it. It's like, okay, all
right. Well, but here's the thing, though, right? Is couldn't that kind of work in the lore itself, right? Like, it could be from, like, Elsie's place, right?
No, absolutely. You could absolutely do, like, some kind of, like, multiverse or alternate universe kind of thing with it. The question is whether they will, and I doubt it. I very
can
much
we
doubt it.
Get we'll away see, but, from the multiverse? Yeah. I'm so multiversed out. Can we?
We're almost done with it. We're almost out. Don't worry.
Oh my god. So what are we going to swing back around to? Our vampires going to be the big thing again? Is it time for that?
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with that as long as it's
not. I think
not
we're going to see a resurgence in fantasy. I think fantasy is coming back.
Yeah, they've been trying to get fantasy to come back, and I feel like it would. Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, I feel like it's come back in some ways. Like, I mean,
it has, especially with Lord of the Rings stuff coming up, and you know, other stuff that
Wheel of Time series on Amazon.
Maybe it's going to be
number one again soon.
Maybe it's going to be cowboys, right? You guys remember that movie Cowboys and Aliens? Yep. That was a that was a good one. Maybe maybe cowboys are going to be a thing. But I'm done with the multiverse, you guys. I'm just not about it.
But then it's also
too much to keep track of when you don't care.
That's I agree. I agree. Like, if you're super invested, it's great. But the longer it goes on, the harder it is to be that invested. And, like, I mean, that's it. It just becomes more and more to keep track of.
Yeah, when you have TV integrated into it, that's even more so. Like, if it's just movies, that's one thing. I can do, like, a an hour or two, find a spot for it. But if it's, like, a whole show added on to the movie, it's, like, a whole thing. And I appreciate it when I had time. But now that I don't have time, it's it's too much. It's just too much.
Yeah.
Which I hate to say that, but like, content is content. But at the same time, you don't have time. You don't have time. So you end up not watching it at all.
Exactly. You end up just being like, I don't have time. I'm just not going to get into it. Or you hear the word silver timeline and you're like, got it. It
doesn't matter.
I'm not going to watch it.
Silver timeline. Yeah. Hey, you know, that word, like you guys were saying, that word means like I don't care, so to speak. But I'm in a way, it seems to me it's like we're testing this, like this is a test, because if we fail, it's not going to affect the other things. But if we do well, we'll just run with our ideas. You know, it's like they can't go wrong, because it's like this is the test phase. It's like the alpha or the beta, of TV shows or whatever. And usually they don't do so hot. So
there you go. The thing about it that's funny to me is I feel this way and I didn't watch the Halo show. Right? Like, I don't have that, that issue like you guys do with the Halo show. Which, by the way, I don't even know that I can watch it, right? It's you can't buy it anywhere, right?
It might not be purchasable. That's...
I don't think it is purchasable. Yeah. Well, no, because you can't purchase like Stranger Things either, right? The Halo show. Only on.
I think that completely depends on like the platform that it's on or whatever, too. Though sometimes, right? Like some stuff does come out.
Oh my gosh, you guys! I can buy. Wait, this just in. I can buy Halo Season 1 and 2. The box sets for $30, both of them.
I wouldn't say it's worth it, but you do you.
And I was going to say, and I'm still not going to do it. Still not going to do it. Listen, if I want to watch bad Halo, I can just play a 3-4-3 game. Am I right?
Or a Bungie game.
Farm, did your power go out?
No. No, I was actually plugging my power supply back in.
Armor's been doing this whole podcast from his phone for no reason.
For no real reason. I'm plugging my power supply back in because the power's not out, so I'm going to start my PC back up and to see what happens, It's probably going to turn off right
as soon as things get situated. Well, but
also, is it that they said it was going off at 11, or did they say, like, from 11 to whenever?
So, here's the exact text they sent me. They said...
Another original book.
We have a scheduled plant outage in Gainesboro beginning Saturday, 10/26/24, 11 p.m. and ending at 5 a.m. on the next day.
Oh, wow. Don't open your fridge. That's a long time.
That's a really long time.
It's a 6-hour... And they must have had some kind of hiccup, because it's probably going to go off before too long, and it's probably going to stay later. They're going to find the 6 hours somewhere.
How about they just do their jobs faster? How about that?
Or maybe I'm just not in the area that's actually being affected.
That would be wild.
I would have thought, because they marked all these places, and then they even said like downtown, which we're kind of like on the outskirts of downtown.
I didn't know you lived down in downtown Gate. What? That's awesome.
We're not really downtown, but like downtown's only like 7 minutes from here because it's a small town. So
I love also like the distances you guys say 7 minutes. Like, I mean, that's probably pretty far, because like I'm used to like it's like a 10 minutes walking
right
to my studio, right?
Yeah.
7 minutes driving.
when I lived in Chicago and I was like a 10-minute walk from work, and now I'm like a 12-minute drive from work. And it's just like, right. those are very different distances.
It's a very different distance, right? I went to America a few years ago.
But my distance is just going around a curve. Honestly, if, as the crow flies, it would be like so close. It's kind of crazy. It's just a hilltop over.
And but could you walk? Can you walk over the hill?
I could, but the other side of it, you know, has kind of a drop. So probably not a good idea.
Yeah. Because, like, man, I went to Texas for my sister-in-law's wedding like 5 years ago. And maybe I've told the story on the podcast. I don't know. So they are 45 minutes from the closest Walmart. Okay, driving, and that's like driving like on a highway in Texas, right? Like really far. And you know me, living in like walkable Japan, I don't understand this. And so someone's like, I'm going to Walmart, does anyone want anything? And I'm like, no, I don't want anything, I'm good. And they're gone for like 2.5 hours.
Jeez.
So obviously by the time that they get back, I'm like, man, I really wish you would have gotten me something.
You know? I'd legit be like kind of worried. I'd be like, they said they were just going to go to Walmart. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. I mean, that's not too far off from us. I mean, we're 30 minutes, but yeah, that extra 15 minutes does seem like forever, though. I'd say 45 is just too much. Yeah. 30 is still kind of far, but it's not that bad.
And for reference, I live 20 minutes from the nearest Costco, and that place, sometimes I'm like, it's really far. You guys, yeah. Maybe we shouldn't go. It's 20 minutes away.
I guess it depends on how hungry you are or how ready you are to get the stuff, the supplies.
Yeah.
My screen's all black.
But Dee, do you have anything you want to cover?
I mean, I don't know. There's been a bunch of weird stuff, like, in regards to, like, Destiny proper, too. Netflix games shut down. That was kind of weird. Without Netflix releasing, like, a single...
Netflix had games that were just like boom, gone.
Yeah, like literally. Well, no, like I think the Netflix like games that are on Netflix are still there, but like they started up that AAA studio. That's where Joe Staten went from Halo.
Oh, right,
343.
Yeah, I was expecting something.
He went to go head that, big. And now it's gone after like 2 years or whatever.
That's too bad. Yeah, you should stay with Halo.
Yeah. Icebreaker is in Destiny now with the latest dungeon.
I heard.
Yeah.
That almost pulled me back.
What's in Destiny? What?
Icebreaker, baby, is back.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna go play Destiny just because. No.
Hold on. That is the most desperate I've heard Destiny yet. But they brought back Icebreaker from 10 years ago.
You know, Destiny's dying when they brought back Icebreaker.
Yeah. Oh my god, that they're like, hey guys, you remember this gun? It's probably a heavy now farm. You don't want it.
It's their ace up their sleeve. Like we've been pulling this out for a long time. Just in case, bring people back.
It's a heavy, and they changed it so that it doesn't auto regen ammo. Final blows or assists.
Okay, it's not the same gun.
Yeah, final blows or assists have a chance to create ammo for it. Apparently,
that is ridiculous.
I love that they're gonna bring back a gun, and then literally it's like
the one reason that you had it.
Yeah, the one thing that was special about it. No, it's not.
I mean, being able to get ammo for it by using like literally anything kind of sounds neat, but like not enough to pull me in.
No,
definitely
but
not the same as Icebreaker was.
That's not Icebreaker at that point.
Yeah,
you could sit in a boss fight by yourself and just take them out slowly and just cheese just about anything. It was great. I loved it.
It wasn't even a good sniper. Like
It wasn't stable. The impact was pretty low.
Patience was an amazing sniper for amazing sniper players.
Okay, you have to be a sniper to appreciate. Okay,
it wasn't even
anything
a sniper.
Bad about my sniper. All that
sniper had was that it. Which, and granted, it's a big thing. That it automatically regens its ammo. It's a huge thing, especially on, like, you know, when there was, like, the skulls that ammo wasn't dropping and stuff.
Right.
Like,
well, you think about Destiny 1. Literally. Never had any ammo to use a sniper. So then you have a gun that auto-regens? Yeah, I'm on board.
Yeah, fantastic.
Now we don't have that problem, though.
Well, that, and then it's like...
doesn't have that problem as much.
But also, it's like the special thing that it did. So what you're saying is they brought back like a not great sniper.
I think they kind of. No, and then you have to actually
the way it was because there was a lot of recoil, but you got a lot of damage if you hit those headshots, and it was worth it.
But they're like
it was a totally different thing. Because
every time
nowadays,
you fired that gun, you would like turn around basically. That's how bad the recoil was.
That's
if you fired it, you would do a 180.
Man, I love that, honestly. The whole recoil about it. Like when you hit that shot and hit that head, man, it just felt right. It just felt good. I can't explain it any more than that. It's just there's the feeling when you fire that gun. It just felt good.
So, guys, I need to tell you. So, this is another visual bit. We're just doing visual bits on the podcast. Chiho is here at the studio as well, and she is currently making a cup. She wants to start selling, like, fantasy-inspired cups, and she's making a cup. And I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. This cup looks way better than what I was expecting. It looks like a cup. It looks like a cup. She thought I was going to be super negative. I was really worried. You know what I mean? like, how am I going to tell Chiho her cup sucks, right?
Yeah.
It looks great. That looks like a cup. Not only does it, like, I mean, it's not even close to being done yet, but the shape of it, it's like, I understand this. I would buy that. Yeah, I understand what it is. The only cups I've seen made by hand here are either made by, like, intense professionals or literal children, right? So I'm like, oh, man. Is Chiho going to make this weird cup that is like in a weird shape and I have to hold it and be like, maybe we shouldn't invest that much money into this. Chiho wants me to bring up this story that okay, let's talk about how I'm a hater. I'm a hater, everybody.
Yeah,
I'm one.
Really?
Really? I had no idea.
What?
Wow, that just hit me right between the eyes. I had no
Someone was complaining on Threads. And they were like, I have a master's degree in art. I have
all of this stuff.
And they were like, and I'm so embarrassed because people don't think I'm a real artist because I don't get any collaborations. And like I don't get any jobs or collaborations. And the last job they tried to get, they told the person, like, your art's not ready for the world yet, kind of a deal. And they're like, I don't know that I can keep doing this. Like, this is my passion. I don't get it. Da 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 da. So I went to their art portfolio website. And I get it. I get why they have no work. I get why brands don't want to work with them. And I get why a brand was like, your art's not ready for the world. And I was talking with Chiho about it. And I was like, hey, listen, I'm glad that you're a good artist and that I don't have to be the person who breaks it to you. Right. To be like, listen. And to make this person not sound so terrible. I don't know if this makes sense. Their art, I could really see like artistic types liking it, but like not, it's not like mass consumption or something a brand would be interested in working with. You know what I mean? You guys know, like
it's art for art's sake that somebody who's artistic would, you know, appreciate.
Right.
But, it's like, yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, I think of like, it doesn't actually look like a person, but people who like painting will be like, wow, it's so fascinating, but like it's not.
There's a different story there if you look into it, the whole feeling behind it. Like, well, yeah, there's another level of artistry, but not everybody's there, you know. It's a very small percent that would actually appreciate it,
and a lot of brands don't necessarily want to work with that kind of art, right? Like they want just like, that's not what people are going to hire you for to make for their company.
Right. You know, well, they're also looking at the numbers, you know, they're looking at what people consume and they're wanting to hit that slot, that hit that, you know, the percentage that, you know, consumption is, you know, like not the like, oh, the 1% where that nobody ever sees because nobody cares. Right. Not that it, you know, somebody doesn't care, but it's still, that's what businesses are doing. You know, they're looking at ways to make money, far be it that they're, you know, doing that. Of course, that's what they're going to try to do. And you got to fill it out and you got to get the best people that make sense for your, you know, your overall scheme, your whole overall, you know, work projection.
Well, that, and like, on one hand, people will tell people all the time to niche down, right? Like, get into your niche and there will be people there. But you got to make sure you get into a niche that there are people in.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
You know? You can't be niche all by yourself. I mean, you can, but, you know, it doesn't pay very well.
Right, exactly. Or, you know, it's, you know, sounds a bit heartless, but sometimes you need to be in a niche that people can pay, right? Like,
yeah, that's definitely the idea. Yeah,
like, there's a reason that, like, certain niches just don't do as well. But, yeah. You know, like, look at Fortnite. Huge, Fortnite. huge appeal, right? Huge sure. appeal.
Yeah. And then, what was that game that, you know, that Sony put out that didn't even last?
Concord?
Yeah, Concord. Yeah.
Well, I think of even, maybe, you know,
you think they were too niche, like too copy like?
Oh, I forgot. There's one other piece of news that's like, that's really great. It's fantastic.
Oh, go ahead.
Overwatch is bringing 6v6. They did it.
Oh, they did it. They brought, wow.
They did it again. Wow. 6v6. It's so amazing.
The Overwatch is appling it. The problem is, I didn't know that they stopped doing 6v6. What?
Yeah, no, part of the whole point of Overwatch 2 was that it was going to be 5v5, so that was going to change up the dynamics of it.
Oh my god.
And they're like, you know what? We're back. Yeah. We did a thing. We did it again. Woo!
It's so... Yeah, you know what? You know what you guys need? One more person on the team.
I think they literally called it like a new exciting 6v6 mode. I was like, okay,
god. Okay. And everybody else is like, oh, you mean the one from Overwatch 1?
Yeah, Overwatch. But going back to Fortnite, like, and not niching down, I even think of Fortnite compared to, like, PUBG, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and the appeal that Fortnite has versus PUBG and, like, the aesthetic and stuff like that. Like, it just makes sense.
That said, PUBG had a phenomenal launch. It was, like, the biggest thing before Fortnite. And since then, obviously, things have changed a lot. Fortnite kind of, like, hit that glass ceiling and broke it.
Mm. Yeah, well, they did something that a lot of the other games were not doing. They were really appealing to the younger crowd. And who's going to be in your games longest, you know, is going to be the young crowd. And if you can pull in the young crowd, to pull in the older crowd, to pull in the dads that are gamers and their sons playing together, you're going to, you know, get something like Fortnite. And that's what happened. You know, they found a market that is quite, you know, profitable, honestly. It's just crazy. I mean,
it's not untrue, right? Like, we're still playing Halo, and we were young when Halo came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, other, you know, people may not be as interested. As it's like, come on, man, Halo. You know? But
I'm still interested, just so you know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm interested to see. I feel like Halo feels really stagnant, so I'm interested to see what they go forward with, right? Like, in a world, Halo, especially, gaming has changed so much in the last 10 years. And Halo, I feel like, hasn't changed as much. And I'm interested to see with Halo Studios, what are they going to explore with, like, the Halo franchise? Because it
with the new engine, I'm really excited to see what
they do.
They've tried to change more. I feel like it's the problem that, like, whenever, like, someone tries to change or whatever, and then they hear negative feedback, and so they go back to their roots, right? Because, like, right. Halo 5 Guardians was very much a change, you know, in a lot of ways. Yep. But it also that's got a lot of hate, Halo, and some of it was very deserved, you know? Right. But I mean, like, like, that's Halo Infinite that was, like, you know, trying to do, like, this open world thing. And I think they were generally fairly successful at it. But I mean, like, you know, like, it was definitely a change from, like, everything except for Halo 1, you know? And, right. like... Yeah.
Well, I mean, and you know, since Halo, you know, it's Halo's been big for, you know, in a sense, for a while. And the whole they kind of put themselves in a box because, you know, you got to figure out, okay, what makes Halo tick? What makes it special? What do we do to kind of make it the same, but also progress it? But the problem underlying the whole thing is that you kind of handicap yourself to be a certain thing instead of like if you're a brand new IP, you can just start fresh, you know, start new and just go from there. But Halo has to keep a certain standard. And there's so many people to tell you how that standard should be. And that's the hard part. You know, no two people are going to agree on the same stuff. Very hard. Very hard.
Yeah. Well, you have to get the feeling right, but you have to modernize the like actual concept. And that's a really difficult thing to do. Like, I mean, like we've seen Sony struggle with this. We've seen Ubisoft struggle with this. We've seen Halo struggle with this. This is a very difficult thing to do where you like still like remain true to like the feel of it while managing to like actually make it like not feel like it's
old. I feel like Infinite did a good job with it, but I guess I'm also thinking more of like just the Halo IP.
Storyline? Or, right? Okay,
like,
sure. Yeah.
Master Chief is such a iconic character, right? Like, and they have other iconic characters too. Like, you know, I think Arbiter, like the Brute's design and such. Like, there really is a lot that they could do. And I'm just interested to see if they'll explore it.
Right. Yeah.
Like, hey, crazy idea. I would be totally down for like a cozy Halo game where you're like managing a Covenant like area, you know, you got like your grunt farmers or you're this and you're this like it sounds funny, but like why wouldn't you do it, right? But that gets back to like it's just the skin, right? It's a cozy game with a Halo skin, but we've talked about that, like Star Wars skins sell, right? Like,
well, have you seen, did you guys ever watch that trailer of the Mega Bloks game that they're, I think I might have mentioned this once.
Oh, I saw it. Yeah.
It's basically, you know, like a Lego game. And if they could do that, that would also be awesome.
Well, it's the same thing that we've always said about like Star Wars or like any other IP that's big enough, right? Is that there's like unlimited potential with it. Like, I really liked, like Johnny was just bringing up, like Star Wars, like I really liked the 90s and all the different games that came out of Star Wars during that time period. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really cool to, like, have, like, a Zoo Tycoon Star Wars game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
With Gungans Frontiers, or, like, Jedi Power Battles, or, like, you know, like...
Galactic Battlegrounds,
yeah. Or Empire at War, which was a completely different kind of strategy game a little.
Empire at War was so good! Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Or, my
favorite is Force Commander. I really enjoyed that game as well.
And then you have your traditional, like, RPGs, like, you know, Jedi Knight series and everything, you know? And,
right.
Like, to have that variety, because that universe was big enough that it absolutely makes sense, was really cool. And, I mean, we've said the same thing about the Halo movies and TV shows, too, Star Wars movies and TV shows, too. Where, like, the universe is big enough to sustain whatever they wanted to do. And so, like, if they made, like, a Star Wars horror thing, despite me hating horror, I would be all about that, you know? I mean...
That would be pretty sweet. I like to see that. I like to see that even in, honestly, a Halo game. Like, in a style, like, with the whole Flood. And I mean, they've kind of touched on it a little bit, but they could really go in. Like, there's so many different things that they haven't even tapped. And I have, like, some of the licensing and some of the stuff they were trying to do with Infinite, and even before that, like, you know, that we do, there was like Halo Wars 1 and 2, and there's been some pretty cool things, but they can tap into so many other things that they still haven't.
And as long as they do quality products, and it sounds like they're taking most of the development of this stuff in-house, right, with expanding their team and like working on, like, there might be collaborative efforts like the one with Certain Affinity, but like, by and large, it seems like they're planning on expanding their team and doing most of it under the umbrella of Halo Studios, which makes sense. As long as that's done in-house, I don't think we end up with, like, a Destiny Rising situation, you know? I think we don't end up with a Diablo Immortals situation, where it's, like, some random mobile game developer, like, doing this thing or whatever. Like, no, I think, like, we can actually get some really cool Halo properties from the Halo team, and because it's all under the same roof, that it'll be like some kind of cohesion or like developmental oversight.
Storyline tellings over multiple games, you know?
Yeah. Just having the same person at the top who can, like, go, that makes sense, that doesn't. Like a Kevin Feige, even if they're not necessarily somebody like at
the top looking out for the overall scope of everything to make sure it, you know, having somebody who's passionate who makes sure it is cohesive and it's telling a story overall, all the games that they're going to do, which, I mean, the idea of doing multiple games already has got me, you know? I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. You know, Halo can, you know, bring it, and they can bring it back if they do it right. And I think Halo Infinite, you know, it had some issues, but there was so much good that came out of it, honestly.
But also, like, would anyone complain here, out of the three of us, if they came out with, like, three or four Halo mediocre games per cycle, as opposed to, like, one pretty good but not quite stellar with a ton of bugs or whatever, like, Halo game, like, a generation, you know? If there was more to, like, sink our teeth into, then I think we'd be okay with that.
It would be okay it wasn't, like, top, you know, like, S-tier.
If not all of them were, like, the best thing on Earth, I think we'd still be, you know.
Yeah. Well, and even though they're supposed to be, like, we still get, like, B-class narratives, like, see, like Halo 5, you know, like the campaign wasn't quite where we wanted it to be, you know? And the fact that that's the only game that they had in that universe, you know, you're just like, where are you picking up the pieces? Where are you getting the rest of it? Well, you have to read the books. Who's going to do that? You know, well, there just needs to be more. There needs to be more branch out and figuring out, like, kind of like what Star Wars has done and some of the other bigger franchises that are out there. Halo is that big, if not bigger, you know, they can make it. But it's,
but also they've had a
limited vision. For sure.
I would be willing to even take in again, like, you know, we're in the world now where, like, smaller games don't come out as often. It's weird because, like, at the same time, small games come out all the time. But, like, you know, like Xbox Arcade type stuff, we don't see as much. It's like a whole different genre. But, like, Halo and that, sure. But also, like, it would be nice just to get, you know, some DLCs and not just season passes.
No, I agree. You know? Yeah. Yeah. I do agree with that. I also think, though, too, like, the more shots you take, the more chances that you have to actually, like, hit something, right?
Right.
Like, and I keep on going back to the Star Wars games of the 90s, where a lot of them were pretty B-tier or even C or D-tier, you know? Like, a lot of them were not great, you know? But there were quite a few, like, I can think of, like, more than a handful that were really, really good out of, like, the, like, 50 or so in that era, you know? I mean...
But I think the only way you can do that is if you branch out to multiple studios. So, like the way Star Wars did it.
Well,
because they have a bunch of different studios, like, pushing out that stuff.
Halo Studios, that's plural. You know?
I mean, that's true. Like, they've already started showing, like, some partnering.
And they have like, done... five projects in work in progress right now.
So, it's like the Covenant for studios. I mean, that's kind of like what they're looking to do. So
it just feels so terrible when, like, studios put, like, all their eggs in one basket and then that basket just isn't loved for whatever reason. Like, in Halo Infinite's case, I feel like you can make an argument as to, like, why it wasn't loved, even if it eventually, like, got good enough to, like, be deserving. Because at launch, it wasn't, you know, and it wasn't even necessarily the launch. It was like the drought, right, after launch. But
yeah, there's a lot of pending reasons why. But bottom line, you know, it is what it is. And it happened the way it happened. And, you know, look forward. I would have loved DLC. I still think that there's wasted potential in Infinite's open world. You know, we've talked about this so many times. And I still believe it. They made this vast, you know, game, and it just feels a little devoid of life. You know, a little.
Are you saying that they Ubisofted and built a huge open world that was just empty and boring? Listen, well, I love playing Spider-Man as Master Chief. Okay, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but swinging around.
Nah, man, it felt good.
That was what was
mechanics.
Up.
Yeah, that was cool.
Gameplay, yeah. You know, yeah, all that. I mean, it felt great. And I don't know if you guys heard this, but like, I was really surprised. Even a game that is successful can have no DLC. And did you guys hear that about Spider-Man 2? About it, like, literally not having any DLC
coming out? Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And so you can be a fantastic game, having a fantastic fan base, and actually go in a great direction with your story. And most people, you know, pretty much, you know, like, across the board, everybody, you know, critically acclaimed and everything. You know, everybody loved it. And still, you know, not push it. You know, not push the DLC and like, I just don't understand that. Like, they have such a huge platform for that game. Doesn't make sense to me. But.
It feels a little weird because, like, Spider-Man, the first one, had, like, what, two DLCs? Like, full DLCs? Like
three DLCs.
But also, like, they're also already in work on, like, what, the Wolverine game, I think? And maybe one other? And so, like, I mean, like, maybe they decided to, like, reallocate resources towards that stuff, you know? I mean,
maybe, or maybe it's just because they've got it. It doesn't make sense in a way to me, but in another way it does, because, okay, we've already got all this stuff, you know, that we've already made that we can kind of like repurpose to reimagine these other games, you know? And so it's not as much for us to like recreate it now that we've got it. But on the other hand, it's like, well, why aren't you going to use it if it's that easy? You know, it's like, I don't know. It seems like it must be something like that, where they're just like got too much on their plate to do it. I don't know.
It's super intriguing to me to see like all these companies take different tactics, because like you have that, but then you also have like Remedy doing like the Alan Wake DLC, right? And this is what, their second or third DLC for Alan Wake or something like that?
I think it's the second. Yeah.
And, like, then they're also, like, you know, already, like, working on that freaking, that multiplayer game that showed during the Xbox Showcase last week, which looks super cool. That takes place in the Control universe, which I guess it's all one universe or whatever, but...
Right, right, Alan Wake.
Firebreak.
I think it's the Silver Timeline.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I saw that. What game was that?
It's called Firebreak, and it's a three-person co-op experience in the Federal Bureau. I don't know why I have a hard time pronouncing that. The Federal Bureau of Controls.
Control. Gotcha.
And that's coming next year to Game Pass day one. Well, Game Pass.
If you have a certain tier of Game Pass, it might come to Game Pass standard day one.
I mean, who knows?
Listen, there's no, all the games from Microsoft are going to come to Game Pass day one, except for the Game Passes it doesn't come to day one.
So what this you're is saying unfortunately is not all Game Passes created equal.
Yes, not all Game Passes are equal. And on that note, does anyone have any closing comments? Anybody?
So, did you guys hear about Arkham Shadow, like, getting released a day early?
No.
That was kind of wild. Apparently, there was a specific way of redeeming the game or purchasing it that, like, bypassed their lock on release for it. And so, a significant number of people purchased it in that way. Yep. And so, like, they decided, you know what? This doesn't make sense to, like, allow those people to play it and not everybody else. So they released it for everyone.
Boom, we're free.
But I guess, you know, I have this question for it. Arkham Shadow, is this, like, an actual game or is it, like, a short experience?
It looks like an actual game. It looks like a full game.
Because I feel like most of the things that have come on to VR... it's like an experience, right? And you get through it, and it's done. It's not really like the same thing that you would like sink your teeth into as a game would be. Does that make sense?
I think this might be like changing the landscape for VR. And if this goes so well, I would say I'd like to see a VR Halo game. You know,
you know?
That would be cool. They had that VR, that mixed reality experience, but you had to have a mixed reality headset, which was kind of annoying.
I know. I would love to see something like that in VR. Like, that's the next step. That's the next.
But Arkham Shadow is 8 to 10 hours, just in terms of main quest line.
That's awesome. In VR, that's sweet. It's about time. It's about time for VR is getting a little bit of love. And why not, an Arkham game to do that, you know? So I hope it's good.
Exactly.
I really do. And I kind of want to play it, you know, and that, now I can't. So I'm like...
Yeah. Well, on that note, do check out Arkham Shadow and make sure you guys like and subscribe. Yeah, we're not sponsored. So you know what? We're not sponsored. Don't check it out. Don't go check it out because they are not sponsoring us to say that. Go leave a bad review.
No, don't do that.
I don't endorse that either.
Bye.
Get out of here, Craig.